on today's Compassion Radio.
I was on a webinar with pastors and missionaries from Spain and Italy, and the question they asked these pastors was, what would you have liked to have known 2 weeks ago? And, yeah. You know, they're just a few weeks ahead of us. And the thing they kept saying more strongly than anything was, build bridges into your neighborhoods right now. Exchange numbers. Begin to be a light right from your house. Draw a half-mile radius around your home and start to introduce yourself and exchange some numbers and be the church in community. So we're doing that now. And then also to learn how to feed on the word themselves.
From every corner of the world come the stories of God's hand at work through his people to reach everybody, everywhere. Even now, friends. Especially now. The question isn't how should the church handle the pandemic of coronavirus. The real question is, how is God at work right now, and how can we join him in it? Today's guests are on the front lines of the battle against fear and hopelessness. And they're probably a lot like someone you know pretty well. The pastor in your congregation. With hundreds of thousands of Christian churches in America, that's hundreds of thousands of pastors who are working double time to figure out how to serve you effectively and equip you for the practical and spiritual challenges of these important times. You'll meet two of these spiritual first responders today for a behind-the-scenes view of ministry in this very strange time that is called right now. Thanks for tuning our way today. Friends on Compassion Radio, I want to introduce you to a couple that have ministered to our family deeply in the past few years and become great friends in the process. They sat at the juncture of important chapters in our family's life, in fact, helped to marry our eldest daughter. Gary and Patty Moreno of the Legacy Church in Liberty Lake, Washington, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Bram. Thanks for letting us be with you.
What an honor. Thank you.
There are so many churches that are scrambling quickly to become proficient in communications technologies, because how else are you going to reach out to your people in times like this than to be present through some kind of streaming media? You've done an excellent job at it, but I do want to talk about some of those technicalities with you today, because I know there are lots of other churches out there right now that have that need and probably feel a lot less equipped than you have about how to make it work. But it's more than just the technical aspects. This is a spiritual warfare issue. How do we as a church function in totally new waters? How do we get this church to float? You've done a remarkable job on that front, too, by helping map out the vision for your church, and it's paying rich dividends already. So let's talk about that first of all. Gary and Patty, you have a startup church. They haven't had much of a history in that community yet, but you quickly managed to get yourself into a facility. And because your area is growing like many other parts of the country is growing, it was going to grow naturally anyway. But you also are very aggressive with your evangelism and outreach and making a statement to your community. The motto of your church is what caught me originally anyway, which was rewriting futures for generations to come. I mean, it's pithy to start with, but I do want to kind of unpack that, because you are having to rewrite a future you did not expect you'd be facing as a congregation, and you're having to adapt, and God has helped you to adapt. Let's talk first of all about what the mission of your church is and what's distinctive about it. How is it different than the things that God had used you in ministry in the past, and how is it very much like everything you've always done?
Yeah, we've had to be adaptable, like you said, really from day one. Launching out, there are not a lot of churches around us. I think there's one other. And we were told right when we began by a fellow pastor in the area, he said, you know, you realize you're planting a church where church startups go to die.
Yeah.
And after that encouraging word in that moment, I don't know that I said it back to him, but I thought it and communicated with Patty. Well, at least we know that Jesus is acquainted with graveyards, and he knows what to do in a graveyard. And we see it through Scripture, how he raised Lazarus from the dead, and of course, his resurrection. And we came in with an excitement and anticipation for just God to do some great things. Got into this building, actually shared a facility with another church that was meeting in the morning. We took an evening slot. Started with two services, Bram. We had probably...
Oh, there's a faith statement.
It was a faith statement. you know, in Liberty Lake, a little colder over here, in October, going into winter, and we felt like we needed to have two services begin, have a service where people could serve, worship in one, serve in one. That's how we began. Within 3 months, and here's the miracle, 3 months, the church that was there approached us and said, hey, we're actually going to leave. We're going to go merge with another church, and you may want to let the lease agent know you're here.
Yeah.
So we did. We went from a pretty low stipend fee for the building to a rather large lease payment, and we had just seen God. Literally, let me just put it this way. January 21, 2018, we were two night services. We had 1 week to turn the building around. They took all the speakers, all their gear, and began morning services, two services, the next Sunday, the 28th. Yeah. And so just seeing God provide literally throughout this process, that idea of just being willing to adjust and adapt and to pivot quickly is what we've had to do. Maybe it's a survival thing, but God has really helped us.
I've talked on the program a number of times about our work in China. We partner often with ministries that are bringing the word to places it's never gone before and being put in hands of churches that are growing so fast that printed word can't even catch up with the growth of the church. But in Chinese, they have a symbol for crisis, and it is a word that's used as we would use it for crisis. That is a combination of danger and opportunity, and they're kind of mashed up in the same pictograph. And they see that, and they immediately perceive what's being implied by that symbol. And I think it's very much a spiritual lesson as well, and the church has taken it to heart. You have faced some dangers financially, saying, do we take on this responsibility, not even a debt, but a responsibility? Are our people up to it? Are they willing and able? And do they see the vision we see for reaching this community? And can they see futures being rewritten for people that haven't even been born spiritually yet? You put that challenge before them, and they rose to the occasion. And that's obvious in the kind of people that have surrounded you. So, Patty, give me your perspective on this. When you were ready to jump into this thing with your husband, were you expecting that quick of a turnaround and the kind of growth vector that you were seeing and the responsibilities mushrooming so fast?
Not at all. You know, from the very beginning, God has just shown up and surprised us over and over and over. This season hasn't been any different. For our mission statement as a church is, we just feel called to create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways. Mm-hmm. And so that's our part. And God does the miraculous in hearts. And not only in hearts of those far from him, but even in the hearts of those who love him, who know him. It's been such a trust walk for all of us. And we've never had lack. He's always been so abundantly just showing up, showing off, just surprising us. 2 weeks ago, we did not have any film equipment, anything to have an online live presence. And within 1 day, it wasn't even taking up a special offering. We just said, here's the need. And if you feel Jesus is calling you to participate in that, then we just ask that you respond to the Holy Spirit. And within maybe less than a week, there was just an overabundance of everything needed for all the technical. And he just keeps showing up. We're growing on this need-to-know, need-to-grow basis. You know, if you were to ask us a year ago, what do you think God's up to? I can't keep up with him. He just, he's like the wild Celtics who call the Holy Spirit the wild goose. And that is an incredible term because he just pivots, you know, on a dime. And
does that mean we're on a wild goose chase then?
Yeah.
So in this season, though, it catches us off guard. Yeah. You know, God is very certain of the plan. To me, it's exciting. I haven't felt fear, really. I have just felt totally dependent. Like, we have to, moment by moment, like breath, breathe in his grace and his hope and his strength, and then exhale that out onto our church family.
I think pastors, they're all feeling what we're feeling.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
And honestly, and it's honestly the ability to train your people to make those quick pivots, those quick adaptations. We're finding that our people are rising to the occasion. If you put it in front of them, that's just what we're seeing. They're jumping to the occasion. They're willing to go in and make it happen. And so it's been pretty awesome to watch.
But it's still the vision thing. You don't have one that's mapped out well or is well communicated. It's very hard to see people rise up to something they can't even conceive of. And so I was thinking, as you were ramping up your sermon this past Sunday, about the problem that spectator churches face right now. It's a real danger, I think, for those who have developed a culture of consumerism within the church. If you have nothing to offer them that they're used to consuming, you lose the consumer. The product's not there anymore. And in our consumer culture, I'm sure there are a lot of churches that are scared stiff about this right now because they have no idea what to offer instead. So what's your encouragement to those who have been, up to this point in their lives, never expected of much? There wasn't much vision being cast to them that would be something they could own. They could step into themselves and see themselves in God's plan and in His hand doing His work. Obviously, churches are getting shaken back to that core truth. Are we a body of believers that is meant to do something in this world? And if the government says, I can't even step out of my door, even if I knew what to do, how would I do it? It's doubly freezing, I think, to those who have no vision or hope. And that can happen to people who are of faith as well. So what is it, you guys, that you're doing for your congregation that says, this is how God reveals vision to a congregation? This is how pastors shepherd sheep during a time like this. And this is how sheep rise up and become warrior sheep.
So good. Well, I think there's a couple of things that have gone to our advantage, Bram. Honestly, it's all the grace of God. We've been in existence for a little over 2 years, and we've said, you know, part of this is we're putting the plane together as we're flying. Mm-hmm. And they just have to be okay with that. Building a culture of change and pivot and is actually healthy. It's good. And our people, again, have risen to the occasion. I was thinking of one thing in particular that just happened recently. We purchased this coffee cart, a latte cart.
It finally happened.
You know, yeah, well, we bought it, but we didn't buy it for, and this is nothing against the coffee cart in lobbies. I'd love to have one in our church lobby. It wasn't bought for us. It was purchased so that we could take it into the community and offer free cups of coffee to different venues, different meetings, so the city council meetings.
Social gatherings.
Pre-pandemic stuff.
Mm-hmm. And let me back up a little bit even further, that from day one, we have told our church, and this is that in within that consumer mentality to really help our minds. The only way we can change the world is if God begins the change in our own heart first.
Yes.
And it always starts there. And so our hearts are so selfish.
Yeah.
It's selfish. What you'll hear us say almost, I hope every single week it comes out of our mouth, is that we have to have our arrows out.
Yeah.
And that's not arrows out as a corporate body. But in your neighborhood, we are called to be a lighthouse. We are called to be lights in a darkness. We're called to know our neighbors, to exchange phone numbers. And this is so critical in this time because now the church has been scattered. You know, I think the real ministry is going to happen in neighborhoods because we are the church. The body of Christ is the church. And so the church has left the building, so to say, you know, and which is really exciting because now we can really focus on our individual neighborhood by sharing phone numbers, email addresses. We can just keep in touch. We're learning to be interdependent instead of independent.
Friends, if there's something we wouldn't mind being known for, it's this. That Compassion Radio and its partners around the world are crazy for the kingdom of God. When you show God-sized love and compassion for all those He loves around the world, that's the best kind of crazy there is. When the rest of the world thinks that the times we live in are just too crazy to care about others, God reminds us that He hasn't stopped loving, and He still intends to do it through us. Thank you for making Compassion Radio a part of your kingdom giving and action. Here's how to support this ministry and the projects we do together around the world. You can give any time of day at our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478, and our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. We can't do this work without you, friends, so thank you for partnering with us today. God bless you.
The church has left the building, so to say, you know, and which is really exciting because now we can really focus on our individual neighborhood. We're learning to be interdependent instead of independent. And this whole thing with the coffee cart, too, is we've just wanted to say, God, how can we show up and ascribe value to people? Just letting them know, what you're doing is making a difference in this community. So by people participating in that and going out, they've seen the fruit of that. They've seen how people are so overwhelmed by acts, small acts of generosity have made paid great dividends. I mean, it's just been overwhelming what God has done. We showed up at a school and served coffee to 60 teachers, and you would have thought we had given them the world. They were just so overwhelmed. One teacher in particular said, I've been praying for 2 years that one day Jesus would enter this building, and today he showed up here on this campus. And it was just precious.
And Bram, it wasn't even a grande, man. It was
just a tall. Well, the tool is in your hand, and you've actually seen that particular vision come to fruit, and yet now it's sidelined. You can't use that cart the way you anticipated it. Is there something else that's taking its place now during the pandemic that is bringing the idea forward and becoming even greater outreach by the way your church is handling the things they are not allowed to do and discovering what God can do through them even then?
Well, yeah, two things. From Liberty Lake, it would be a strong upper blue-collar / white-collar community. So there's not a lot of need here, at least that we're feeling right now. But that said, we went to our community and our people and said, hey, we're going to begin a response team and allow people, when you go to the grocery store, buy some extra stuff and just drop it off here at the church. Now there's an outdoor drop-off, and we're going to just start beginning to create resources. You know, President says it's going to get pretty tough. So we wanted to have some resources ready to get back to community. And literally, the response was overwhelming. Not only people are bringing groceries now, but the team that said, hey, call me, we'd be willing to go out and take some deliveries to families in our neighborhood. That's one area.
Mm-hmm.
Another area is just really staying in communication with our people, teaching them. In fact, Brian, let me say this real quickly. I was on a webinar with some pastors and missionaries who were in Spain and Italy. Mm-hmm. It was an awesome opportunity just to hear them. And the question they asked these pastors was, what would you have liked to have known 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
You know, they're just a few weeks ahead of us. What would you like to know? And the thing they kept saying more strongly than anything was two things. Number one, teach your people how to become smaller in their immediate communities. Like build bridges into your neighborhoods right now. Exchange numbers. Begin to be a light right from your house. And, you know, draw a half mile radius around your home and start to introduce yourself and exchange some numbers and be that. That was one of the things that was very strong. They said, just begin to be the church in community. So we're doing that now. We're just communicating those words to our people. And then also, I think, to learn how to feed on the word themselves.
Hmm.
I mean, should communications go down? We're enjoying the luxury of communication right now and able to put these online services on and devotions through the week. But, you know, how can our people grow on their own if the pastor's not able to speak into that? So a couple things that we've been able to start right away.
That was one of the questions I would have asked you today anyway, which is, as a leader of a flock, as a shepherd who is not leading the sheep out of the pen, literally, you're not walking with them physically to a place to do ministry. You're having to pray them forward. How do you teach the sheep how to feed? How do you inform them on how to seek where God has for them that are green pastures, that are clean waters, places to go be safe and to grow and to be sheep? You're doing a good job, I think, right now, helping them understand that even if the shepherd is not right there at their shoulder, they still are covered, that they have the blessing and the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and a support team that is 100% behind them and is doing the work by example. That's my next question for you both. How do you lead by example when they can't see you or read your nonverbal communication, your body language? What do you do to be able to show good examples for them?
You know, one thing I've utilized is social media. It's kind of like when your kids are at home and you keep teaching them lessons. For example, with the citywide Moms Connection that we have, I address the importance of the Word of God, the importance of every time you open it, He's opening His mouth, He's speaking to you through it. But now the rubber meets the road. We're not meeting physically in a group. I've really tried to continue to encourage. We're using Zoom and through social media, allowing if God's speaking something to me, letting that light shine, not just allowing it to shine and invade the darkness in my own life, but taking a moment and sharing what I've learned with a world around me. So that's one part. I was so encouraged by their lives because they had learned how to feed themselves. Hmm. They heard it like a broken record, and you wonder, I don't even know if this is getting in, because sometimes they just stare at you with a blank stare like, no, I don't think they caught this. But then to hear on the other end of a Zoom meeting, where I'm going, what has God been speaking to you? And just the richness, the fullness of what they were sharing back was so beautiful. It's like, God, they have gotten it. They are learning to feed. So I think the more we can, as pastors with our flocks spread out, the more we can just continue through social media to encourage them and then just trust the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. To be ministering to them, giving them that, you know, it's God who causes us to will and to do his good pleasures, giving them the will and the want to meet with him. I think it's powerful. Also, we can't minimize the use of our cell phones, picking up the phone and calling individuals one by one by one, getting our pastoral team, all of our connect group leaders, that's our small group ministry, all of them taking responsibility for calling, you know, a few people so that it's not too great of a load on anyone. This is a time to really be connected with one another. Hmm.
And the tools are there for us, and we do know how to use them if we bother to think about it. But we don't often believe that what we would have to say is worthy or is worthwhile. And so, of course, the accuser would love to keep us from even trying. And yet the Spirit's saying, just speak. Just pray.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Be present and be in the moment. Do you guys think that this pandemic season that we're in right now is going to strengthen or weaken the church?
I think it's going to strengthen. I think it already is. I think there are natural fears. I think there are natural emotions that we have the privilege of navigating our people through. But I think we're going to get stronger, Bram. I sense in my gut. And why is this pandemic happening over Palm Sunday and then right into Easter and through Easter? I mean, what an opportunity. When we were able to hold our last service together, when the number was like, okay, 250 and lower, you can meet. We have two services and we don't have over 250 in each service, so we were good. My message was, imagine the possibilities. And I didn't even realize the fullness of what I was saying, because this thing has seemed to intensify every day. You know, there's just a new level of intensity. But just to set in our minds, imagine the possibilities. And I think you mentioned that earlier, Brent, that idea of there's an issue, we have a problem, but the possibilities are endless. And we're poised to become stronger.
Yeah.
When we get to the other side of this, I mean, we got our eye on when we get to the other side of this, there's going to be such a celebration when we get to gather together again. But in the meantime, we're hunkered down and we're having a lot of Zoom meetings. We're fixed on what God has. And I think our people, they sense that.
Yeah.
They sense the confidence, but also the authenticity of the pastors. I think, you know, we can communicate, hey, this thing's happening in real time, people. We don't know where this is ending. And I don't think we have to know. We just have to know who to trust in. We have to know who to anchor in. That's what we're communicating.
In this season, I find myself thinking about the church itself being the sack of seed in the seed and the sower parables, in that we see ourselves as being strong because we're together, and the sower looks at it and sees, I've got a bag of seed to sow. He's not looking at the seed itself saying, oh, this is it. This is the church. He's looking at the field and saying, that's where the church is. And he gets out there and starts yanking all the seed out of its comfortable pouch, throwing it, and it's going to get eaten up by wild animals or land on rocky ground, or some's going to get deep into the soil. But the church is going to go out whether it likes it or not, and it's going to become what the sower intended for it to be, a big crop. I don't want to be afraid of that kind of change right now. I think those of us who are scared of change are scared of it because we're not good with the idea of ourselves changing. Those of us who are excited about the changes God is bringing in us are thrilled with the kind of change that transforms the world through us. And I want to be that kind of seed. You mentioned in your sermon last week, Gary, when you were quoting some other theologians, people are observing that the pandemic itself has really been humbling us. I wondered about that statement, because I've seen a lot of people who haven't been humbled at all, but they're really, really scared. Do you see that the church itself is being humbled by this, or are they just being shocked?
Well, I don't know about the church so much as I think America is being humbled, because America can't figure out why we can't just stop this thing. But I think the church, I go back to that scripture, if my people, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and steal their land. I think it ought to drive us to that place. It's interesting. I'll give you a perspective. It's something I've been watching. This is completely unscripted, and it's in my heart. I've been watching this and noticing, no matter the size of the churches across the nation, from the very largest churches to the smallest churches, you can't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. In other words, I'm watching. Yeah. I'm watching in some of the. I know they're large churches. Most impacted cities, you got a pastor with a couple people in his living room leading a little worship,
yeah,
and he's talking to a camera. There's no difference. The ground has been leveled as far as comparison goes. Let's get the gospel out, and that's what I love seeing. There is a solidarity in purpose. We're together in this, but we're going to be together in action. We're going to get the gospel out. I'm not intimidated by your building. You may have one, but there's nobody in it, you know?
We'll be back with more inspiration and encouragement from the Morenos of Legacy Church in Liberty Lake, Washington on tomorrow's program. If you're interested in their ministry, look for them at legacychurchwa.com. Drop them a line and let them know you heard about them on Compassion Radio. Thanks so much for your prayers and your support of Compassion Radio, especially during this time of great trial throughout the Christian church around the world. We really want to be an encouragement to the entire body of Christ. So, let us know how we're doing. Will you help us get ready for the next Big Faith challenges and opportunities of 2020? Now, to reach us 24/7, to learn more about our history, our projects, to hear our podcast, and to make your love gift, simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92855. I'm Bram Floria. God bless you, friends.